Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for Mark and Hart, featuring Mark James.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C, James. Does Mark with a C, does a C stand for cocaine? I said, no, I've never touched it.
And Andy Hart.
Guess what I'm making next year? Cha and Ching together, okay?
Looking for a piece of Andy candy.
Mac and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
Now here you are.
I'm a team player.
You're going to be perfect, and you know why?
Because you like to say bombastic things, correct?
David's soft as f***.
I think it's better when there's an actual discussion on the show.
I will fight you all.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mac and Hart.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
A football life, the 2019 New England Patriots. And I'm telling you, the title is a season lost. The end of an era. The end of the Brady era. Okay, so I'm going to add to that. A season lost. The end of the GOAT, Tom Brady era. That will be it. Season loss, colon, the end of the Tom Brady era. The 2019 Patriots of football life. Watching on the NFL Network. Coming soon. Coming in March.
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
It's nice of you to have an NFL Network production meeting on air. And just sort of spitball, work through it. It was a little wordy when you started. You started to tighten it up. You had to punctuate it properly with a colon.
Yeah.
I see what you did
right
there.
Right, what you tried to do. Good morning.
Good morning. But I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
You had that was last night, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. And for some reason, I was driving in and had a similar type thought process in the hour drive up. You know what I decided this season is a lot like for Tom Brady? He's a contestant on NFL, on the Food Network's Chopped. They've given him a bunch of ingredients that really don't make what you would say is a traditional, normal meal that you'd like to see. It's not like he got some cheese and some chicken and some pasta and he goes, oh, chicken parm. They gave him like a African beetroot, and they gave him the head of a crab and then the tongue of a cow and said, I need you to go make me a good meal out of this.
Yeah.
Now, can he win the show, or is he one of those losers that makes something that the judges go, this is awful. I don't know what you were thinking here. Or is he the guy that somehow throws in a little milk and sugar and turns like worm brains into something that tastes yummy?
Yeah, apple pie.
Yes. And you're like, holy crap.
Whoa, whoa.
Don't know how he did it. This guy's a magician.
Oh, man. He's something else, man. He's another Gordon Ramsay, isn't he?
Yes, because he has ingredients.
Yep.
The question is, how the hell do you make them fit together to make a meal?
I don't know. You and I have not got a chance yet to talk about last Sunday's game. So I figure, why wait? Let's just, I mean, I know it's less than a week old, but I want to get your thoughts just basically overall. I will say this. I thought it happens in the NFL, and I know there are three egregiously horrible calls, which the N'Keal Harry one just stands out more than anything. That was a touchdown. We all know it was a touchdown. Philip Dorsett, non-PI call. It should have been PI. And then the Gilmore scoop and score. So we get it. All those things combined. I didn't like it, but I will say this. Of all their three losses, They should have won that game. They're like, they should have won that game. And I know it's...
Could have.
Like, I know it's... You and I, we were on the right side. We had Kansas City. We both had them. So you went, like, you know, and I'm 3-0 this year picking against the Patriots. If only I had such luck last weekend. Oh, dude, did I take a bath. Oh, did I take a bath.
At least you admit it.
Oh, I didn't win a game. Dude, I was so bad. I had...
Ofer.
Buffalo. Okay, I had Utah and the Pac-12 championship versus Oregon. That didn't go well, okay? Saturday, I had, I don't know if I went and did anything. I did something on Saturday. It just escapes my mind at this point. I don't remember.
He's getting trigger shy.
No, I know. But then Sunday, here was the bloodbath. Ready? I had the Bills +6. They lost by 7 at home versus Baltimore. There we go. I had, what was the other one? At 1 o'clock, was it? Who did Cleveland play? Trying to think who Cleveland. I don't think it was Cleveland. No, they played Cincinnati. Did not have that game. Did not. Oh, Saints minus two over San Francisco. And then for the hat trick at night, I let somebody I know who talked me into it. And I got to tell you, I actually thought it was sort of a good move, I guess, just the Seahawks decide to not show up. Seahawks, Rams over like 46 in a total of 40 is the Seahawks. And the Seahawks scored 12 points in that game.
You
so,
suck.
Oh, I know.
Jackass.
So now you'll be doing 25 hours for just to make up my gambling debts. No charity, just to make up his gambling debts.
Mark right. And Mutt.
25. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I got winners tomorrow, though. I got you some winners tomorrow.
It's so cute how he still thinks they're winners.
I got tomorrow. Oh, no.
Duffel.
The luck changes. The luck changes all around. I got winners tomorrow.
There's... Wait a minute. It's not supposed to be luck. If you're going to be making these picks and getting people to put like loans and mortgages and equity lines on it, don't tell them it's luck. You're supposed to know what you're doing.
Right.
Dumb and entertaining is better than smart and boring.
Wow.
That's one of the smarter things he's ever said,
right?
To be honest with you.
It's the story of your career.
Mutt. I mean, my God, that's crazy. He actually made sense there. Holy crap.
The problem with Mutt is he's dumb and not entertaining. Right. It's a double dip.
Wow.
See you soon, Mutt.
We are not pulling any. He listens to the show, too. So good morning, Mutt. Good morning, you. Good morning,
probably on
everybody.
His way to youth basketball. Why basketball with his kid?
Yeah, absolutely. But we got some winners coming up later. And I'll give a pick on the Patriots later today. I mean, you know, I'd hope after back-to-back losses, they're going to get it right against the worst team in the NFL. But getting back to last Sunday's game, there was, you know, there's obviously a bunch of things that we could get into. The refs, number one, you never want to say the refs cost you the game. They played a huge fact. I say this? I think Jerome Boger got more airtime than Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
And it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And that's what I would say. Almost worse than the particular calls, because that happens. People make mistakes. Just like, you know, Jakobi Meyers dropped the ball in the end zone that could have been a touchdown. He made a physical mistake. It's inexcusable. At some point, you make too many of those. It costs you your job. Refs are the same way. They make mistakes. They're human beings. They had no idea what they were doing. They lost control of the game. They're throwing flags that they're then picking up. They
four of them.
Yeah.
No
idea. 10-yard penalties are being walked off as five. That's not a mistake. That is...
Incompetence.
You somehow have CTE and have just lost your effing mind.
Incompetence.
And the biggest thing I would say is, again, on the touchdown to N'Keal Harry, I think the guy getting in the way sort of screws up the mechanics, but a physical mistake. You think a guy's out, not you saw something, whatever. The Stephon Gilmore fumble recovery, they tell players one thing. We're going to let it play out, so make sure you keep playing.
Rams Saints. Remember they called it?
They've done it for 3 years now.
They called it dead on the Saints, and then the week after, they got it right, and then they go back to reverting back to
them. The players are told one thing by the officials, and then the game is called in a different way. That's not a mistake. That's you not doing what you're supposed to do, the way you've told players to play it out. And to me, that's the most frustrating one, because anybody can make mistakes. And as I said, it might cost them jobs, and maybe it should. If they're that bad, and this is I don't see that crew every week, but people tell me they're one of the lowest rated crews
They have to be. And so why did they get that game? That was a national game of the week.
It's a bad combination.
Wow.
But I would also argue, if you have a crew you feel like you can't put on a game, then they shouldn't be your crew. You know what I mean? Like if you say, oh, I know this like automated picking whatever, put them on the Patriots Chiefs. We can't put them on that game. The second you say you can't put them on a game, fire them. Get rid of them. If they are not capable of doing it, because all games matter in the NFL, right? There's very few where you say there's nothing that's going to matter in this game. Put this crap-ass crew on that game. No, if you feel like you can't put them on a game, then get rid of them. Because every game has big, fast players, controversial plays, rub routes, all those things. So get rid of them if they're that bad. But I also hear people...
They've been demoted. They have Dolphins, Giants.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But even that game matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, every
Draft
game matters
status,
in the NFL.
Sure.
This isn't 162 where you can hide them in, you know, Kansas City or something for a three-game series and no one cares.
No.
No, these matter. Whether it's for draft picks or coaches keeping their jobs or lives, they matter. So you can't hide them. But I also hear people just sort of twisting themselves in knots trying to say, you know, how the refs did every... It still starts with the Patriots.
Sure.
They can't move the ball. They can't score in the red zone. Even when they do score, they can't score in the red zone.
And one of your keys last week, and you said he needs to be a key, and he Phony Michelle, five carries.
It's gone. Right.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
And again this week, it's the same freaking key. They need to run the ball. The Bengals stink on run defense.
Yeah.
I believe they're dead last in yards per game and like second to last in average. Can they do it? Can he do it? Does Damian Harris even exist? Was he abducted by aliens and he's just a fictional character on paper now? Because at some point, I'm sorry, I know you love Sony Michel, not you. I'm saying you, big picture.
Yeah.
He helped you win a Super Bowl. He was so great. All of that. He's a first round pick, so you need to stay invested. At some point, it isn't working. It's not good enough. And I can blame the line. I can blame the play calls. But he is not doing his job in Do Your Job land. He's not doing his job.
No.
And to me, you're not doing your job, Bill Belichick, if you continue to allow him to fail at his job. It's sort of like I just said with the officials. At some point, if you say they're not good enough, then they shouldn't be officiating games. Sony Michel is not good enough to run the ball for you right now. Whether the line's part of it or not, he is not maximizing runs. He never gets more than he should. He always goes down early. What was it? Five carries for 8 yards?
Five carries for 8 yards.
Unacceptable. I just
mean,
flat out
Jesus.
Unacceptable.
Come on.
So if you're not putting in Damian Harris or trying something else, now that's on you. Now that's sort of the cover-up, right? You're not making the change that needs to be made. So now you're not doing your job, Bill Belichick, right? And I just, there's a million of those things, but okay, go back to starting with
no, the Chiefs and the running game.
Wound up. I'm feeling a little better.
Horrid. I still horrid. Have a cough, though. 29th out of 32 teams in terms of yards per carry, 3.5 average. Sony Michel ranks 43rd out of 46 qualifying running backs with a 3.46 average. Folks, I will tell you, it was
do
a
you
nice.
You have the three that are worse than him?
No, I don't. But no, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
I go back to. And I don't want to harp on it because...
Yes, you do. You love to harp.
No, well,
you've built a career on harping.
All right, let's harp on it then. I just, every time I see Lamar Jackson, I think of what could have been, what would have been, what should have been here. I really do. And not only...
But it wouldn't have been yet.
No,
see,
yeah.
My son and his friends do the same thing. Like, why did we should have taken it?
Right.
But it wouldn't have happened yet. You'd be sort of missing out on this, right? Maybe. Right now, it would be interesting. Would people be calling for him? Would be people want to see packages, and if he had a couple plays in certain packages, would be like, maybe it's time for Brady to move on and go else. Maybe we're happy Brady
well,
has
the
autonomy.
You have a contingency plan. Tom Brady's even completely, you know, going ahead and singing his praises and extolling his virtues on social media during the Thursday night game, saying, let's have a 40-yard dash, ha, ha, ha. It's remarkable to watch, but even that being said, it goes back to, you know, the running back position has been the most devalued position in pro sports. You can find any of these guys anywhere. Rashad Penny, Chris Carson, the guy that...
The 49ers guy.
Breda?
The one behind him. When Breda's out, he comes in and rushes for like a $1.44.
Mostert,
yeah, yeah.
He's like
right.
a journeyman.
Yes!
Guy. Now, I will say for them, if you watch the 49ers play, it's the anti-Patriots in terms of the line. The ball is snapped and the whole line moves forward like 4 yards.
Oh,
like, you could run behind them.
Oh, anybody could. And it just, to me, that's one symptom of it. But when I see Sony Michel, I just think of, like, you know, Nick Chubb. He wasn't even the best running back in his own backfield in college. I think of Darius Leonard. You know, Lamar Jack. There's so many guys that you could have taken there. And, you know, I've been harping on this for the last three drafts. You and I agree upon one thing, that the last non-bust first or second round pick that Bill Belichick took was Jimmy Garoppolo. First or second round. Now, I'm not talking third and fourth, like third and on beyond Trey Flowers and, you know, all those guys. Yes, he's found some diamonds in the rough, I will give you, but I'm talking about first or second round pick. And I got to give credit to Trollin Volin, because when he asked Bill about it this week, Bill's like, I've never seen Bill, at least I don't remember off the top of my head, act like Alex Cora when he goes, we're 10-3. It's not a terrible
it's
record.
It's the second time he's ever done it.
Right?
I swear
right.
to God, it's the...
Right?
Immediately,
yes.
I'm sitting there kind of right. half listening, and I went, and just sat up in my chair, because he does not do that.
No!
Except when he gets defensive about his football team, and he was on the defensive. He didn't get, like, visually defensive, but when he brings up the record, and the other... I need to go back and look it up and get the exact quote. I want to say it was, like, might have been 09... That season,
ooh,
it was one of those
bad season,
and it was the same thing. It was December, and they're at 9 or 10 wins. They're kind of scuffling a little bit, and he said, "You know, we've won 9 games. We're not a terrible football." And your ears immediately, because that's so not him.
I know
what happened last week, a month ago, doesn't matter. It's about this matchup in this week, And I believe, and I asked Jason McCourty this yesterday on Dale and Keefe, and he didn't play along. You know the whole theory that when Bill speaks to the media, he's also talking to his team. That
yes.
Because he knows
yep.
they're going to read it, hear it, see it. I think that's what he was doing personally. I think he sees a football team that's lacking in confidence right now, that's questioning itself. And when he says that, we're a 10-win team. We're a pretty good football team. We've done some good things this year. I think he's talking directly to his players who he thinks are at a low point and start. And maybe it's the quarterback. I don't know. Maybe it's other leaders that he thinks they're questioning how good they are, where they can go, which I find alarming because they lived it a year ago. They sucked last December when they lost in Miami and lost in Pittsburgh. And he didn't bring up their record a year ago.
No.
He didn't feel the need to pat him on the back and, you know, you're really good, gosh darn it, people like you. He felt the need to do that this week. And that's interesting to me. That is very, very interesting to me. And I'm going to give you bonus points for noting that.
I did notice that because I just...
Because he doesn't do it.
He doesn't do it. And I'm like, I've never heard him do that before.
Yeah, it worked last year.
Alex Cora.
No question.
Like he just went Alex Cora. And I'm like, Bill, like, hold on. I don't care what you... Listen, the Patriots, like, this is what they've done. 17, 18 years. They've had... Okay, they just broke the NFL record this year. 17 seasons of 10 wins or more. They did it. No team has ever done that. 10 wins a season for 17 straight years. That is a record. You could talk about the 6 Super Bowls. You could talk about going to 9 of them in 18 years. That in itself is unfreaking believable, which I cannot give enough credit to. But when he went to the record, I said, wow. I'm like, Volin shook him. Volin got him. And maybe it was just a combination of everything that he's had to answer. And I understand. Like, I will tell you, and we haven't touched upon this yet either, what they're calling Spygate 2.0. I thought this week Belichick was put in a really unfair position because I truly believe that he and all of the football department, all of football operations had zero to do with what went on in Cincinnati.
You are correct.
No, nobody had anything to do with it. But I also have to tell you, I don't think his boss, who signs the lower right-hand corner, did him any favors by having Bill in the line of fire, not only answering questions about what happened in Cincinnati, but drudging up, hey, well, this happened against the Jets in week one, 2007. What about the Flategate? And I'm like, oh my God. That to me, I think he has this sort of playful thing with Volin, and maybe that's why he was given the 10-3, but I just never heard him give the record to validate forget about the 2019 draft class. The jury, not even rendering a verdict. It's too early. I think N'Keal Harry still has potential. I don't know if he's going to be better than Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, Chris Godwin, these guys, Metcalf. I don't know if he's going to be better than those guys.
Debo Samuel. There's a whole list.
We don't know. But I'm willing.
But you have an instinct right now, don't you?
Here's the thing, though. He's a double-edged sword because when he's on the field, he can, like, the back shoulder fade catch against Dallas.
Right. And then you throw him a slant and it's a pick.
Or against
Houston.
He has
Houston.
He's a home run strikeout.
He's a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. That's not good for receivers.
Right. And I don't want to overrate him and say he's nowhere near Aaron Judge. But he's like Aaron Judge and he hits a home run or he strikes out. It's one or the other. He's that type of guy.
But not in a big play way either. Like, Hollywood Brown. I mean, you can see there's some dynamic playmaking, big play. Now, I know people saw the play last week against Kansas City where he catches it wherever it was, the 10, 12-yard line, gets to the outside, dives for the pylon, and yes, it was a touchdown. Great athletic, physical play. I don't know that you run that same play at, say, the 50-yard line hoping he makes a guy miss and he takes it to the house. That's not the kind of Hardman. He doesn't have that kind of game-changing speed.
Nope.
So he has to make the back shoulder, twisting, contested catch plays. But if you asked me right now, and I've been consistent with this. Some people think I'm a Harry hater. I'm not a hater. I just watch and observe and see what goes on. I still think Jacoby Myers will have a better career than him.
Oh, he could.
I still think he will not get, it's a ways down the road, but the fifth year option on his contract, that teams have to make that decision in year four, and it's a big chunk of money for all first round pick. You get to say, yeah, I want to pay a bunch of money to keep him for a fifth season. I don't think that will be an option. I say he plays 4 years here, and then he moves on and be like Cordarrell Patterson or whatever, where teams go, he's physical. Yeah, I'm going to bring him to, I can get the most out of him with my offense, and he'll bounce around for a couple. I don't see the consistency of a first round talent.
And that's
upside.
And that's amazing too, because at the offensive skill positions in the first or second round, other than, as I mentioned, Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014, Belichick, he can't pick a receiver in the draft at all. To really contribute to this team. I mean, I think the only decent receiver that he picked that I can remember, you know, post Deion Branch is Malcolm Mitchell, who's okay for a little bit.
Yeah.
He was okay. He
was one part of one season.
Right.
Was good in a Super Bowl.
That's it.
And he left that positive taste in your mouth. So he becomes the poster child. Oh, what he could have been. He picked it up early. He was all those things.
Right.
But you never know. He might have fallen on his face the next year. Who knows?
Right. You don't know. So overall, what is your thoughts on the whole situation that happened in Cincinnati that people are calling Spygate 2.0? Because I thought this was just, I blame this more obviously on Kraft Sports Productions. This had to do with them. That had to do with the producer not knowing that you're not supposed to be taping a team sideline. And if I'm understanding that the Kraft Sports Productions / New England Patriots have never sent a video crew out to a foreign press box where the Patriots weren't playing that team to film something like this in 20. It was the first time they've done it in 20 years.
It sounds accurate.
Right.
I can't remember it.
First time in 20 years they've done this, and look what happened. So overall, your initial reaction, and now that the week has played itself out, do you feel any different now? I just know that Bill is innocent. And my biggest thing is Bill is innocent. The team is innocent. And I don't even blame Robert Kraft. I think it was obviously the producer and the idiot wearing the Bruins hat or the Patriots sweatshirt. Those were the guys. And I don't blame them. They didn't know. They weren't put in position to do their job, as Bill would say. But I thought overall that Bill and the entire Patriots, they got thrown on the bus. You get national media this week, and Eamon, we've got a plethora of guys.
Yes.
You got Rob Parker.
Too much sound.
Rob Parker saying he shouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Shan Sharpe saying he needs to go. I mean, and then some unexpected allies. Tony Dungy.
Yep.
Ryan Clark, Stephen A. Smith saying that, you know what, they weren't cheating. This had nothing. And I'll tell you this, and you know as well as I do, the reason why Tom Brady got suspended for 4 games wasn't because of Deflategate. It was the slap on the wrist cover up on Spygate 1. Pretty much.
I think that was a part of it.
It's a makeup call.
I also think it was how they dug their heels in and fought it. I think it became personal between some attorneys behind the scenes, and I think that fueled the fire, which I thought was interesting. If you noticed, the statement the Patriots put out, what was that, Monday evening, they put out the statement sort of detailing what happened, and in what was the last line? We take full responsibility for what happened, right? And we've heard so many times that Roger Goodell is big about kissing the ring and bowing down and all these things, and I thought that was a symbolic version of that. They fell on their sword. We did the wrong. Now let's just move on and figure this out and do whatever needs to be done.
All right, 617-779-7937. We are off, rocking and rolling. 23 minutes just went by like in 23 seconds. So,
fastest 4 hours in sports talk radio, baby.
Here to one today. We're not in tomorrow.
Nope.
Okay. But speaking of tomorrow, I will, if you...
doing another appearance?
Yeah, I love it.
Jesus.
Western Mass.
This is how we pay off the gambling debts.
That's right.
And you, you need to explain something to us later. The name of the place you were at last week. You better have found out why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mark, you have a homework assignment.
Gotcha.
He definitely didn't ask, and he has no idea, and he's going to Google it now on the break.
Cheater.
Jack wagon.
First and foremost, as I'm getting the reads for just now, this hour of Mark and Hart is brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic. So there's that. I want to get that in there. Another thing is that tomorrow, Hooters in West Springfield on Riverdale Road. Come on out. Join me, Bud Light, WEI. Bud Light will have, obviously, special drinks and everything that you can come out. Every game is on. They have the Sunday ticket, including, obviously, we'll be there for the Patriots-Bengals game at 1. But come on out and join me. Hooters on Riverdale Road in West Springfield. They'll be giving away free WEEI gear, and Bud Light will have a special grand prize, which will be a Patriots thing. Last week, they gave away this really cool Patriots fire pit.
Dilly Dilly.
It's really cool.
Dilly Dilly.
Yes, Dilly Dilly, exactly.
So come on out tomorrow. Join me if you're in Western Mass there at Hooters in West Springfield. It'll
you're
be great.
A perfect fit for that one.
Let's go, bud.
You know why?
Because you'll just be one of many boobs in the room.
No, very good. Oh, he'll be here all week, folks.
No, just 4 hours.
He'll be here all week. Try the meal. He didn't like that.
Oh, screw you, Eamon.
Eamon did not like that one.
You're a boob, too.
You've been trying out new material. Who are you, Fitzy?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
No, he's actually funny.
I'm a... Oh, wow. Ouch, babe.
Sometimes.
That one's... He's a professional comedian.
I know. I just bust him balls. But you have some funny moments at times.
Thank you.
Sometimes, though, what was the thing last week that he was trying to do on the nickname, Eamon?
The J team?
Yeah.
The J team.
By the way, the J team sucked the other night.
Oh, man.
They lost their nickname.
Oh, dude.
The Z team the other night. Tatum could not hit the broadside of a barn. He was taking these little floaters from 3 feet that were clanging off the backboard.
Which game? The game against Philly?
The Philly game.
Yeah.
Awful.
I know.
Horrific.
Back-to-back games against the Pacers and Sixers, and I'll tell you this, too, just on a little Celtics note. Thursday night, that was a tell. That was a tell. That was scary because I had thought for the longest time that the Celtics were just sort of right below Milwaukee. Oh no! When you blame for what the resurgence of the Sixers? You know you can blame it on Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal for calling out Joel Embiid because now he's fired up. Now he's like, I've got to be great. I can't just settle and score.
And he did it. They literally said, "You don't score 22, go score 28 or 30 or 38."
And he went out and did it immediately.
And Barkley, they asked Charles before the game, "What is he going to have? 30 points, 20 rebounds?" Well, he was 7 short on the rebounds, but he had 38 points.
Yep.
He was unbelievable. And I'll tell you this is another thing. You lose to this. I know it's regular season. I get it. But you've lost to him twice now, both on the road and at home. And guess who didn't play the other night? Al Horford.
So but neither did Marcus Smart.
Yeah. No, Marcus Smart is their best defender.
People want to tell me he's a defensive player of the year candidate.
He's their best defender.
As a guard, which is sort of...
No, he is. He's sick.
But I still think they need a big. I think that's the biggest thing you are seeing is they got to find a big somewhere. Saw my guy's Miles Turner the other night. Let's do the deal, Danny.
Something about him is not looking as good anymore. I don't get.
What do you mean?
No, I love.
I mean, he's not a traditional. He's a shot blocker, rim protector, but he's one of those stretch fives. He likes to shoot his threes.
I guess just the other night he was Sabonis looked better than he did. I like Miles Turner. I do.
I like him a lot.
Here's the thing about the Pacers. They're in the hunt. They're right below the Celtics. Sure. They're not going to make any deal giving up Miles Turner to help them.
I still don't buy the Sixers though. I'm a guy that's a Sixers doubter. I just, whether
the playoffs,
it's the coaching,
in the playoffs,
the crunch time,
right.
I think you'll just see Embiid skulking off the floor, quick exit to the corner after they just had a disappointing loss. And just a personal note, I hate Ben Simmons.
Oh, I do too.
He's one of those guys, you just want to punch him in the face.
Right, he's like
such a dink.
Yeah, he's like Baker Mayfield. You want to punch him in the face.
He's so punchable.
Oh, God, he really is. I just can't stand him. And congratulations, he hit his first three-pointer a little bit. All right, now time for trending.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, so this is not part of trending, but I just want to bring this out.
They're ripping us.
No.
That was a funny joke.
I grew up in Western Mass. Someone just said, it's Riverdale Street in West Springfield. Come on, Mark, Western Mass. No, it's Riverdale Road, dude. I know. It's Riverdale Road. It's
I
not
got no
Riverdale.
Idea. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Don't care.
Well, I'm letting you know.
I'm with Andy.
Hooters on Riverdale
court,
Road.
Could be a drive.
Okay.
Could be an extension.
It's Riverdale Road.
Mark frequents Hooters very often.
Unless they
change. His top thing on his GPS recent searches.
Check his Waze history.
Unless they changed it, it's Riverdale Road, dude.
Maybe there's both?
No.
It's you guys Riverdale getting Road. Confused?
We just confirmed with Google Maps it is Riverdale Street.
It's Road. It's Riverdale Road.
Can we get a picture of the actual street sign so he can shut up?
Yes.
We'll go
see
on Google
the street
Earth.
Sign.
Somebody in Springfield, if you're listening right now,
West,
you are near
right.
Riverdale Road/street, please stop. Take a picture of the street sign. Send it in so he can shut up this boob.
They must have changed it then. All right.
Oh, he's already backtracking.
No.
What a wuss.
No, I'm not. No, it's Riverdale Road. It's always been Riverdale Road. Don't miss your first chance to get 2020 Red Sox tickets, Sox packs, 3 and 4 game packages. Select April, May, and September. Dates are on sale now at redsox.com/tickets. Shaughnessy wrote an interesting article the other day about how this is the worst Red Sox offseason so far. It's all about slashing salary. Yeah. That's it. You're getting nothing. You're getting...
Welcome to the small market Sox.
And
your new small market GM.
Yep.
Good luck with that. Have fun.
Yeah.
Let's see where the ratings go for Nesson. You're going to cut payroll? Get rid of Mookie, get rid of fun players, get rid of Price. Okay, you have no controversy, you don't have talent.
And if you know as well as I do, if they're not watching the Red Sox games or Bruins games, they're not watching anything.
Nope. That's why I didn't even know you did TV.
That's right. I can understand that. Yeah, no, I know. Patriots travel to Cincinnati to play the Bengals tomorrow. Hey, duly noted, with kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m., seven players on the injury report, including Julian Edelman, Jason McCourty, Slohamed Snafu, who are all limited participants. Bruins look to snap a five-game losing streak tonight down in Florida to possibly avenge their worst loss of the season when they blew a four-goal lead in the third period here in Boston a couple months ago, thanks to Puka. Puka was awful the other night against Tampa. Horrible. Steve Stamkos owns them. If Tuukka Rask had a business card, it would say Steven Stamkos bitch. Because he owns them. He just absolutely owns them. Puck drops at 7 o'clock.
Just rambling now.
Celtics off Wednesday night? What? What is this break?
I had to double check it.
Are you?
Couldn't even tell you.
Wait a second.
Circus in town?
Right. Wait. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? What, I get a vacation?
Yeah, it's like mini All-Star break.
That is a mini All-Star. They're off until Wednesday night? How does that happen?
I have no idea.
Hey, you know what? Barkley always, like, honestly, this whole, the NBA and the wit with the load management and them trying to do these games, all this stuff, this is, you get a five-day vacation.
If you're a player, you don't question it.
In the middle of December.
Brad, I'll be in Aruba for 3 days.
Right. No, literally. Wow. And we will have the annual Army versus Navy game today. Coverage starts on WEEI at 3 o'clock. That's probably one of those bucket list items I wouldn't mind going.
Yes.
Just to see it. I mean, it seems pretty cool on TV and the way people describe and stuff. It's not Alabama LSU, but it is. It's more.
It's cool. I'm sorry, the throwback nature of the offense and just run. And, you know, a guy can not throw a single pass and win a football game or go 1-for-2 passing and win a football game.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, kind of like Tim Tebow's NFL career. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEEI.com. I can't wait to be proven right on this one. I see you, Victor, in West Springfield. Ha ha ha. Oh, I'm not backing down at all. Coming back next with your phone call, 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
And if I were a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter when the time come, I would have a hard time. If he's found guilty, Chris, we're assuming, right, that he's found guilty and he's involved in this, then I'd have a hard time voting for him, especially for the Hall of Fame, the first ballot.
How do you learn that, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad look. But let me tell you what should happen.
Yes.
If it's proven that they taped this, Coach Belichick's got to go.
Well, I think it's proven they taped it.
No.
He had knowledge of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way to say he did not, Skip. He's got to go.
Rob Parker, Shannon Sharp, and Rob Parker was actually on OMF this week, and Lou got him. Lou goes, well, did you vote for Barry Bonds to get in the Hall of Fame? He said, yeah. He goes, well, he cheated. His entire post-Pittsburgh career was just, like, and granted, he got off on some technicality because he had his dealer, or whatever that guy's was, something Anderson.
Yeah, his trainer, yeah.
His friend, with Balco. the guy was a sycophant and just took the fall for Barry Bonds. So, but we all know, it's like, yeah, I did. Like, come on. Bill's not going anywhere. Bill had nothing to do with this. Was he implicated? Did he have something to do with what happened in September 2007? Yes, because remember even at the time that apparently it had reported that Kraft goes, you know, did you do it? And Bill's like, yeah. He goes, you know, did it help you? And Bill's like, no. He goes, well, then you're an idiot.
Schmuck, actually.
Schmuck.
I believe he called him a schmuck.
Schmuck. A schmuck idiot. Yeah, so you're a schmuck. So Bill is a historian. Bill, you know, catch me once, shame on me. You know, it's like he's not going to put himself in that predicament again.
He said that during Deflategate when they started bringing up Spygate.
Of course, he said,
ever since then,
yep.
Whatever happened, he kind of continues to say they didn't really cheat during Spygate, but he says ever since then, if it's been close, gray area, we've stayed away from it. We have not gotten close to crossing the line. We err on the side of caution, and I believe him because he knows this is true. He cares about his legacy.
He does.
He knows that every coach has done something that's a little questionable. You can dig and find skeletons in a lot of great coaches' closets, but he knows if you keep finding more skeletons, and it's easier to find him and pie all these guys immediately, right? Monday morning, Tuesday, he's guilty. Yeah. Right. And we're like Rob Parker, you heard him say, and we're assuming he was involved with this and he's guilty and he's got to go. Well, he isn't guilty. He was not involved with it. But you were ready to jump to that conclusion. Now the reason for that is obvious. You're a 2-time convicted felon, right? So it's easy for people to believe you're a felon. Your team was convicted twice by the National Football League, by a court of football law, essentially. Deflategate and Spygate. And you no longer get the benefit of the doubt.
That's it.
This wouldn't even be a story for 31 other teams.
Like
a story for one.
If I said to you, and there was no substantial proof about this, but if I said to you, hey, there's a rumor going around that Antonio Brown was involved in a domestic dispute with some woman down in Fort Lauderdale. Now, there's no proof of anything.
Right.
Would you just sort of
give
me exactly why? Because of the track record.
And
you are what you are.
If it were Devin McCourty or Matthew Slater,
no.
I'd say, I'm not buying it until you prove it to me. But it's different. Bill Belichick is assumed guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
And even when he's proven innocent, people say, yeah, but I'm sure he still had something to do with it.
Right.
That's it.
Right. The Deflategate, the reason why Tom Brady got more games suspended for allegedly, because I don't believe that, you know, he was the one who had anything to do with it. Now, maybe McNally and Jastrzemski, that's a whole other story. I don't know. But all I know is this. Tom Brady got suspended 4 games, not because of allegedly deflating footballs. He got suspended because the Patriots didn't get any type of punishment, real punishment, for Spygate against the Jets. And on top of it, remember, what did Roger Goodell and the Patriots apparently had an agreement that Bill was supposed to come out after Spygate 1 and apologize, and he never did it. He never apologized, and that drew the ire. So then when Deflategate came about, people were like, everyone's like, oh, the Patriots are going to get away with this again. Because remember what Roger did. And you know, as much as people here hate him, people might have selected memories. And I understand why people hate him for suspending Brady for 4 games or him just being a $44.5 million overpaid boob. Fine. But remember what he did. The NFL had the smoking gun of all the evidence, not just from the Jets, but this allegedly had gone back to 2000 against the Buccaneers when Charlie Weiss told the Bucs after the game, we know all your press.
Right. Charlie Weiss destroyed everything.
And Roger Goodell, he destroyed
except
all
for the
evidence.
One tape that made it to Fox and everybody watched because Roger Goodell's wife worked for Fox. That was the one little leak. Remember, there was a little clip of it.
Yeah.
I think Jay Glazer brought it to the Fox pregame show. There was a little snippet of what you'd see. That was convenient, too.
Right. That was
interesting how that worked out.
Right. Exactly. And then Roger Goodell.
We have high standards in the NFL.
Yeah. No, you don't, actually. It doesn't seem that way.
No.
Not at all.
It doesn't. So Goodell destroyed all the evidence from the first Spygate, and he expected, and I have to tell you, it was sort of a, hey, you got to give a public apology, and Belichick never did, and they acted like it never existed. So,
which is why I think that statement, I continue to say the last sentence of whatever it is, I should pull it up exactly, but taking responsibility for these actions.
I have it right here.
Yeah.
It says, quote, I'm just going to read, I'll get to the last sentence, but the highlighted part to me is the most interesting thing about this whole thing in the statement. There was no intention of using the footage for any other purpose. We understand and acknowledge that our video crew, which included independent contractors who shot the video unknowingly violated a league policy by filming the field and sideline from the press box. When questioned, the crew immediately turned over all footage to the league and cooperated fully. The production crew is independent of our football operation. And then the final sentence is, we accept full responsibility for the actions of our production crew at the Browns-Bengals game.
I think that's key. No excuse making. We're falling on our sword. Now, it wasn't football, but it was the Patriots organization. It was Kraft Sports Productions. We're falling on our swords. So,
but
Roger,
but,
treat everybody else
but
the same way.
This is on Robert Kraft, though, because he should have faced the music. He should have faced the media and not left his head coach out to dry, because Bill had nothing to do with this, and neither did anybody in the football operations department. And I don't think Kraft knew that. I don't think Kraft knew, but Kraft should have taken the verbal bullets that Bill had to be completely subjected to this week when he was put on the stand multiple times. And I actually, you don't ever feel bad for Belichick, because he's pretty much been him and Brady. If Brady's been the prince of New England, Bill's been the king or whatever. But Bill, I felt bad for Belichick this week because I thought he was put in a precarious predicament by his boss. And I thought his boss should have stood up and said, this is on me. Because remember,
a little like Bill did to Tom. Remember when he threw Tom under the bus?
Oh, for Deflategate.
You have to talk to Tom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember. But again, at the end of the day, it was Kraft Sports Productions, not even
Belichick Sports Productions.
Right, well, or Patriot Sports Productions. They're under the same umbrella. They're a separate entity. They're all under the same roof.
But he's the face. He's the guy that goes to the mic every week. He's the guy that is the spokesman.
He
wants to be one voice.
Should Kraft have stepped up and taken responsibility?
I think in a written statement, I would not have put him out there in a verbal setting. I would not. To me, that would have given more credence to it if you do a full press conference.
Okay.
I would have included an actual written Robert Kraft attributed statement.
All right.
To move on from it, because then Bill can literally say, because Bill actually on Wednesday said Mr. Kraft, and then he kind of froze and said the organization put out a statement, because it didn't actually attribute any quotes or any apology to Robert Kraft. It was sort of a general organizational. I probably would have crafted, no pun intended, a statement that included a quote from Robert Kraft.
Yeah. I got to grab this one real quick. Victor in West Springfield. Go ahead, Victor.
Hey, I'm living in Wisconsin for like 20 years and driving that Riverside Road for 20 years, so it's a road. It's not a street.
Right. Even though on the street it might say Riverdale Street, the locals, the true locals in West Springfield, the hometown of Vinny Del Negro. No, I'm serious. Victor, it's Riverdale.
He's going forward again. He backed up for a little while.
What is it, Victor?
Road.
Riverdale Road. Yes. Road. Part of Route 5. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Victor.
Okay. Yeah,
that's all the help he can get.
I'll see you tomorrow, Victor. All right.
Hooters. Join him tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Come on out.
Boots everywhere.
617-779-7937. And the Sunday ticket will be there as well. Your thoughts on Spygate, Cincinnati style, which I thought it was, unfairly labeled, but I get it.
Yeah, it's not even worthy of being Spygate 2. And I kept fighting mud on that.
I know.
But I couldn't come up with anything that was, short and told the story, and everybody just latches on to Spygate 2, and it's not.
It's guilt by association. It's like the Parcells. Yeah. Parcells is a lot. It's like this is where it comes down to. You kind of are with. So when you are innocent, it doesn't matter because you've been guilty before. So people, you will never get the benefit of the doubt.
Scarlet letter. It says C for cheater on the Patriots' chest, and it will forever.
Eyes. Yes. And don't forget, Roger Goodell destroyed all that Spygate original evidence, kind of like one of my football idols, Ray Lewis, destroyed that white suit the weekend of the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Back to your phone calls after this.
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, back on Mark and Hart. 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. We'll get to all of your phone calls right back to the phones. Let's go to Josh in West Springfield. Hey, Josh, what's going on, man? You going to join me tomorrow?
I got work. I actually work on Riverdale Road. If you're calling it Riverdale Street, you're probably asking me for directions because you don't know where you are.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. I love when, just like last night, Josh, when I was in 6 to 10 at night and I said, you know, Andy and I have gone back and forth about the Brady odds of him coming back to New England, retiring, or going somewhere else. And I said last night, I go, 65% Brady goes somewhere else now. 65. 20%. He retires, 15% he comes back to the Patriots. So some caller calls in. He goes, oh, you had your numbers wrong. You came up short. I go, well, I said 65, 20, 15. That's 100. He goes, no, you said 65, 20, 10. So then Ben Charleston went back and he played it. And it was, and I took the caller's word for it. I'm like, oh, you were right. And I'm like, I was right on that math. I had it right on that one.
But it was a good call to go with the cut. You expected to be wrong.
Yeah, I expected to be wrong, Josh.
Math is not your forte.
Josh, no, it's not. Spelling is, but Josh, and Eamon's saying something to Annie right now that I can't hear on the air.
I said, there's nothing too small for you to take a victory lap.
No, you should have shared that with her. That's a good one. You're right. And Josh, what is it? What is it again? Riverdale what?
Riverdale Road, ROAD.
Thank you. ROAD. Got you. got it. What's your call on the Celtics?
After the back-to-back losses, you know, it looked like to me in the games, the Celtics didn't really feel like they didn't look like they felt like they deserved to win, to be the better team. And that's something I hope I see improved during the year. But as far as the big man situation goes, I know a lot of people are in the camp of, oh, yeah, Time Lord is, build up Poirier. You know, all these guys can't. Or just use them as committee, you know, develop your players. But, you know, I really think that that's something that if they want to compete for a championship, you know, they can do at the same time while bringing in a veteran presence. And I look at teams that are selling, and I look at Oklahoma City and Steven Adams, who has been revered as one of the strongest men in the National Basketball League. National Basketball Association, excuse me. And I think that, you know, bringing a veteran presence like that, you know, showing those young guys really how to solidify yourself in the paint and be a strong presence. I don't know why there hasn't been more rumblings or more talk. I mean, I don't know how contracts match up or, you know,
he's getting $26 million this year, and he's under contract till the end of next season, $27.5 million next year. That's not bad that you got him on for
just
two.
Money.
It's just money. And Josh, I like the Steven Adams thing, and he would be, oh, they would love him here. Oh, he's just that big grizzly in the middle. Oh, he would be completely revered here if the Celtics could get Steven Adams. And they are selling. I mean, Oklahoma City's going through a transition right now. They are in Cincinnati Bengal mode. They are in Knicks mode. They are all in on tanking. So that would be now, what do you have to give up to get him?
Right. Do you make it work?
Right now, one of the guys who to me has been the next to Kemba, who has been the bright spot for the Celtics this year, has been Jaylen Brown. He has been unbelievable. Yep. He is where a lot of guys, when they get that second contract, it's like, okay, now I can Netflix and chill, sort of. Right. You know
it
what I
mean? It does two things. Either pack it in, get That's fat it. And happy,
right?
Or you don't want to look like that, and you're motivated even more.
You're still playing. You're like, he's still playing. He's playing now as if he's in a contract year,
right? And I like, because he is. He's in a He's looking to prove the contract that he got this year. I think that's what he's looking to do. And I'm still a Jaylen Brown guy. I still think I feel better about him than Jason Tatum. I'm just not a Tatum guy. He's good. Like, they're both good. But I don't know. There's something about Jason Tatum that rubs me the wrong way, because I think Jason Tatum thinks he's better than he is. I think that's his biggest flaw.
But I think this year he's come back and he's certainly embraced the Brad Stevens way and the system, and he's not out there trying to play Kobe ball anymore.
Right.
I think that's a big key. Last year, because in the offseason of 2018, in the summer, he spent time with Kobe, and I'm like, oh boy, that is not good for the Celtics. And to his credit, during the summer this year, he admitted that sort of stifled his game. He should not have basically worked out with Kobe, and it was something that really translated on the court along with all the Kyrie stuff last season. I think he's back to being the Jason Tatum that was a soaring rocket his rookie year, and that's a good thing for me. That's the thing that I want to see. The Spygate thing, how much does this... Forget about Bill, because I even though people want to blame Bill, people, the trolls on national media, like they're wrong and they just do this because they want to get up on their soapboxes and blow their hot air because that's what they get paid to do, even no matter how wrong they are.
And it's good for ratings and notoriety because the Patriot haters will pat them on the back and Patriots fans will get all their panties in a bunch and go after them.
How much does this tarnish just the Patriots as a whole, though?
If they take this, Coach Belichick's got to go.
You got to go.
Because at the end of that, like you said, the final sentence on this, you know, press release, we accept full responsibility for the actions of our production crew at the Browns-Bengals game. So it's released by the New England Patriots.
They did it. They're not saying we didn't record it. They're saying we screwed up and it had nothing to do with football. This was a complete Kraft Sports Productions. It was one person who unfortunately made a mistake that blew up in the organization's face. That's the reality of the situation. Now, I am a little concerned or disappointed that we don't know the punishment yet, because I firmly believe there will be punishment. And the fact that we've reached Saturday, we're almost a full week later, and we don't know the punishment, I do not think is a good thing for the Patriots. I don't think it's a good thing for the NFL. I don't think it's a good thing for this story. And the way you're looking at me, we'll talk about that on the other side.
Who do you blame? 617. Patriots overall, two dynasty Super Bowl legacy, which has amounted into six Super Bowls, and who knows what happens this season. 617-779-7937. Who do you blame overall? Do you blame Kraft? Do you blame Bill? If you want to blame Bill in some way, what do you do? Or do you think this is just something that the entire anti-Patriot nation has blown out of proportion? 617-779-7937. Mark and Hart, hour two, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.